This morning, we're going to look at the idea of kingdom command. This evening, we'll look at kingdom citizens, and I pray that you'll, you know, join us from that. But if you have your outlines, you can see that there is quite a bit to cover this morning. And before we begin, if you'll pray with me. Most gracious and holy Father, we come to you now, and Father, we just pray that our worship this morning has been acceptable to you, Father, that our worship and our praise has glorified you and has honored you. We thank you for this group of believers who have gathered together. And Father, I ask that as I am preaching your word, that your Holy Spirit will use me as a vessel to communicate your work, to communicate your truth, and Father, to communicate your word. And then I pray that the Holy Spirit will not only open the hearts and the minds of those here in attendance, Father, but will enter into their lives and help them not only to hear the word that is preached today, Father, but to live it out, Father, to be true disciples of your Son. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful for everything that you've done for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody wants a Savior. I'd argue that most people want a friend, but very, very few people want a king in their lives because a king has authority. And if we're honest with ourselves, we struggle with authority. I don't know about you guys, but I struggle with being told what to do. I struggle with surrendering my control. I struggle with letting somebody else call the shots. And if you don't believe that, ask my wife or ask my boss, and they'll tell you that that is true. I want help. I want guidance, but I don't want to have to submit to authority. And the reality is, from the very beginning, God intended for his people to have a king. If you go all the way back to Genesis in chapter 17, God promises that kings will come from Abraham and from Sarah. In Deuteronomy 17, right after putting together the judges and kind of instituting the judge, he anticipates the people's desire for a king. And he provides instruction on who it should be. It should be somebody that he chooses. And it should be somebody that is shaped and devoted to the word of God. And then if you go into 1 Samuel chapter 8, you're going to see that the people finally demand a king. They want a king to be like all of the other nations, 1 Samuel 8 verse 5. They want a king who will fight for them. And it's really interesting because if you go back and you read 1 Samuel 4 through 7, their request here in 1 Samuel 8 makes no sense at all. Because God has proven that he has fought for them and has brought the victory. So you see, the Israelites, they didn't reject the idea of a king. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 8 that they rejected God as their king. And if we're honest, church, I think we struggle with this today. I struggle with this today. We love Jesus as Messiah. We love Jesus as Savior. We love Jesus as mediator, as helper, and as friend. And what I'm asking you today, and I've been asking myself, do I love Jesus as master? Do I love Jesus as Lord? Most of us would say absolutely, amen, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is Lord. But does our obedience prove it? Or do our lives question his authority? And this has always been the issue. We see in our text this morning from Mark chapter 11 that the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees ask Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? And those questions have not gone away. His authority was questioned then, and his authority is questioned even today. If you go through the New Testament, over 700 times, Jesus is referred to as Lord. The Greek word kyrios, and I probably butchered that, but kyrios, Lord, speaking of power, speaking of ownership, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Speaking of the unquestionable right to command, if you go to Genesis 49 in verse 10, the Bible says that the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes, and to him will be the obedience of the people. Scepter, meaning royal power. Shiloh, often translated as savior, but it's this idea of, or Messiah, but it's this idea of rule. And Shiloh means to he whom it belongs, to he whose right it is. Yes, church, Jesus is the saving Messiah. Amen. Amen, Ruth. That's for Mason. Ignore me. Jesus is the saving Messiah, but he is also the sovereign master. And if you do not get anything else from this series that I'm going to do, I need you to get this here today, right now. And if this is the only thing you take away, I'm okay with that. I've done my job. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is Master. Jesus Christ is Lord. He not only has command, he is in command. He is in command, you're going to see today, of the kingdom of God. He is in command of his church and his bride. And if you claim, like I claim, to be a follower or an apprentice of Jesus, that means he has authority and command over your life. But the question has not gone away. What gives him this right, and by what authority is he doing it? And so this morning, I want to quickly go through an attempt, and my feeble attempt to answer that question this morning. Number one, kingdom command is established by the Word of God. If we're going to talk about the authority of Jesus, we have to start with the authority of the Word of God. Psalm 19 and verse 7 says that his word, his law, is perfect. And Jesus in John 17 says that his word is truth. So when God speaks, it is not just an opinion. When God speaks, it is not just a suggestion. No, when he speaks, truth is established. And authority is settled. And the Word of God tells us exactly who the king is. We see point A here, that his authority is prophesied through the scriptures. I've already given you Genesis 49, where it prophesies that the ruler will come from the tribe of Judah. But in 2 Samuel 7, God is establishing a covenant with David. In verse 12, 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, he says, I will set up your seed after you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 14, I will be his father and he shall be my son. Verse 16, to David, your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. And yes, we know this in part was fulfilled by Solomon, but ultimately this was pointing to King Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33, the angel Gabriel comes to the virgin Mother Mary, and he says, you will bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall have no end. So his authority is prophesied through the scriptures, and what the scriptures promise, God reveals in the person of Jesus. His authority is revealed through the incarnation. John chapter 1 tells us in verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you jump down to verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, beholding the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus is not just the Son of God. Jesus is God the Son. He is God in the flesh. The Bible tells us that he is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact imprint of his nature, that he is Christ over all. Romans chapter 9 the eternally blessed God. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, he is the head of all principality and power, and in him the fullness of the Godhead dwells. You see, Jesus is not just a representative of God. He possesses the totality of God's divine attributes. He possesses God's holiness. He possesses God's justice. He possesses God's truth. He possesses his mercy. And yes, he possesses even God's power. All of it made visible through the flesh of Jesus. And since he is the Word of God in flesh, as the Word, he displays his authority through creation. If you're still in John chapter 1, verse 3 says that all things were made through him, and without him, nothing that was made was made. Verse 10, the world was made through him. Jesus is the active agent, or the active force through which the universe was created. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 1 that it is through Jesus that God made the worlds, not only made the worlds, but it is through Jesus that he actively upholds the world by the word of his power. Paul agrees in Colossians 1, he says, it was by Jesus that all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And so, yes, his command is established by the word of God. It is prophesied through the scriptures. It is revealed through the incarnation, and it is displayed through the creation. Second point this morning, that kingdom command is exhibited by the life of Jesus. What was established of Jesus in the perfect and true word of God was actually seen in, it was not just declared in the scriptures. He actually took on flesh, stepped into this world as a man, and he put this authority on display. His authority is demonstrated by his teaching. Much of the Gospels record Jesus's teaching and his instruction. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus enters the synagogue in Capernaum and he teaches on the Sabbath. And Mark 1 verse 22 says that the people were astonished at his teaching. Why do you think that is? They were astonished at his teaching. Bible says because he taught as one having authority. You see, Jesus didn't just teach like the scribes. They taught off of the opinions of others. When the scribes and the Pharisees, when they would teach, they would quote other rabbis, they would quote other scribes, and they would take no authority of their own. Everything was the authority of the rabbi or the scribe that they were quoting. But we see throughout, especially the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus does not do that. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, when he was teaching, he contradicts what they're teaching. And he says, you have heard opinion, but I say to you, not the rabbi, not the scribe, not the Pharisee, I, Jesus, the living word of God, am telling you what this actually means. And if you read through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you get to the very end, and it says that when he was finished teaching, again, the people, they were astonished because he taught as having authority. But it wasn't just his teaching that demonstrated his authority. His authority was actually proven by forgiveness. In Luke chapter 5, a group of men bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. And before healing the man, Jesus forgives him of his sins. And if you read this account in Luke chapter 5, it says that the scribes and the Pharisees, they thought, oh, what blasphemy of Jesus to forgive sins, because no one has authority to forgive sins except for who? God. But this is the Son of Man. This is the Son of God who descends from heaven from his throne of judgment with the authority to forgive sins. And And Jesus can sense, if you're in Luke 5 and in verse 22, Jesus can sense that that they're questioning him. And he says, why are you reasoning in your heart? And so Jesus proves it to him. And in verse 22 through 25, we see that his authority is confirmed by his power. He asks them in verse 22, he says, what is easier, to forgive sin or to heal this man? And in verse 24, he says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the man who is paralyzed, arise, take up your bed and go home. And immediately this man got up. Immediately he got up, he was healed, he went on his way through the power of Jesus. And it says that the people were amazed, that they glorified God, and that they were filled with fear. And over again through the scriptures, we see Jesus's authority with his power over nature, calming storms, walking on water. We see his power and his authority over sickness and disease. He heals the leper in Matthew 8. He heals the woman with the chronic bleeding in Luke chapter 8. And I want to touch on this. The Bible says that this woman with the chronic bleeding had spent all her livelihood on doctors who could not help her. And the Bible says that with just one touch of his garment, she immediately was healed. We see that Jesus has power over demons and spiritual world. Read through Luke 7 and Luke 8 if you really want to see all the amazing things that Jesus has done. But in Luke chapter 8, he casts out a legion of demons into the swine. And then not only all of these things, Jesus has power over death. He raises Lazarus after 4 days. He raises Jairus's daughter, and he raises the widow's son. And so Jesus exhibits his command. It is demonstrated through his teaching. It is proven by his forgiveness, and it is confirmed by his power. And number last, kingdom command is ensured by the reign of the king. Jesus Christ was king then, just like the Old Testament scriptures prophesied. Jesus Christ is king now. He is king today. He will be king tomorrow. He will be king forever until the end of time. Jesus Christ is king. His authority, though, is validated by his resurrection. If you read through Romans chapter 1 at the very beginning, Paul says that it is Jesus's resurrection from the dead that declares him to be the Son of God, just as he himself claimed to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I love this, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul says that if Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty. If Christ is not risen today, I have no business being here because my words mean nothing. He says that if Christ is not risen, our faith is empty and futile, and that we are still in our sins. And so Jesus's resurrection proves that everything that he taught, everything he prophesied about himself is true. His claims of divinity are true. But he isn't just risen. He has been risen, and he's actually been exalted and enthroned. So his authority is exalted by his ascension. Paul in Ephesians 1 says that God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand. And I love the Hebrew writer expands on this in chapters 9 and chapters 10. But he expands on this, and he compares Jesus to the high priest of the time. And he says that the high priest stand ministering daily, offering sacrifices that cannot take away sin. And he makes it very clear throughout the book of Hebrews that Jesus, having made one sacrifice for sins forever, has sat down at the right hand of the Father. He has entered heaven itself to appear, Hebrews 9 verse 24 says, to appear in the presence of God for you. To appear in the presence of God for me. This is such a powerful and comforting thing that right now, right this minute, regardless of anything you have going on in your life, your Lord, your Savior, your King is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible tells us is that He is interceding on our behalf. He's not up there just for Him. He has been exalted in glory to the right hand of the Father for you and for me. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says that He lives to make intercession for us. And so through His ascension, He has been exalted to the right hand of God. And it is from that position that He reigns today as Lord. Last point, His authority is experienced by His lordship. The truth is, and this is what we really need to get here, the truth is if Jesus is not Lord of all in your life, He is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all in your life. If Jesus is not Lord of all in my life, He is not Lord at all in my life. If you have found salvation in His name, the only name that it can be found, you are called, I am called, we are called to deny ourselves daily, submitting ourselves to Him, putting off the flesh, and living out His commandments. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, again, that God has exalted Jesus, but that He has given Jesus a name that is above all names. And it is at that name, the beautiful, powerful, precious name of Jesus, that name that everyone will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, not just Savior. He's a wonderful and a beautiful Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we have the chance today and we have the chance every day to confess that He is Lord, to lay down our lives, to pick up our cross, and to follow Him as we've been called to do, surrendering every aspect of our lives. One of the books that I was studying was going back and forth on the idea of commitment, committing yourself to Jesus, and surrendering yourself to Jesus. And what it called out is that we say, hey, I've committed myself to Jesus. Commitment, I'm still in control. I can take that away. I've committed to You. I can pull that back. No, we surrender to Jesus. We give Him complete control over our lives. And that means our thoughts. We give Him control over our speech. We give Him control over our relationships. And yes, church, that means we give Him control even of our possessions. And what I've really been trying to do, and I want to encourage you to do as well, is to stop treating Jesus like a consultant. Stop just going to the Word when I need a little bit of advice on how to move forward. When I've got a difficult decision to make, and that's the only time I pick up the Word of God. No, quit treating Him as a consultant and start treating Him like the master that He is. Experience His lordship in every part of your life. And when you do that, when you experience His lordship, you're going to see all of the blessings that the Bible tells us that we're going to see. This isn't a prosperity gospel. I'm not telling you you're going to be rich, but what I'm telling you is that when you experience Jesus's lordship, you are going to experience His love. When you experience His lordship, you are going to experience His mercy. And when you experience His lordship, you are going to experience His grace. The kingdom of God has a king. The kingdom of God has command. The world may look crazy out there, but the world has a king. And this is where we're going to finish here today. The most amazing thing about the authority and the command of Jesus in my eyes is that if you truly believe what the Bible says about Him, if you truly believe about his command and his authority, not just over the church, but over you, over the world, if you truly believe that Jesus in all of his command and all of his authority, he says himself, he did not come to be served, but he came to serve. All of this command, all of this authority, and he submits himself to the will of the Father. He willingly takes on, willingly lays down his life. He takes on the shame of the cross. And he does that with all of his command and with all of his authority. He does that for you and he does that for me. And I watch a lot of sermons throughout the week. And one of my favorite parts, because I don't feel like I do very good at this, one of my favorite parts is listening to the invitations at the end of the sermons. And what I've found as I watch through these, a lot of the times the invitation sounds like, hey, if you will make Jesus Lord of your life, you can come and be baptized today for the forgiveness of sin. I'm going to say that again. And I want you to listen to where I think we've messed up or they've messed up or we're just missing something here. If you will make Jesus Lord of your life, if you will make Jesus Lord of your life, church, we don't make Jesus anything. We don't make him anything. The Bible says that God has made him. But his command is established by the word of God. His command is exhibited by his life, and it is ensured by his reign. We don't make him anything, but we can acknowledge him in his rightful place. We can surrender to him in his rightful place as Lord of our lives, as King of our lives, as Master of our lives. And when we do that, we not only give our life to him, we give our life to his church, and we give our life to his mission of seeking and saving the lost. And so the invitation is there for you today. If you have not surrendered your life to the King, if you have not repented of your sins, put him on in baptism for the remission of those sins, we can help you today. Take a few minutes to get the horse trough filled up. But we can help you today. You can be baptized and you too can become a citizen of the kingdom of God. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing.